For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, we got a big hour coming up here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus in for Maggie Gray. Diana Rossini will be here shortly from The Athletic to talk about her Saquon Barkley interview. And then later in the hour, we'll have Andrew Brandt, who will help us clear up what's going on in Green Bay. He's a former Packers executive, Jordan Love, holding in. I understand there's some more holdout news early this morning in New York, actually, Andrew.
Oh, I wonder why we're bringing this up. Maybe because it makes your Eagles look smart. But they traded Hassan Reddick to Aaron Rodgers' right. Jets. And Hassan Reddick, I believe, has never still been to Jets headquarters because he wants a new contract. And now he skipped all the offseason stuff, and now he is officially holding out from training camp because they have not reworked the deal that I think pays him $14 million for the coming season. It's why the Eagles traded him, and the Jets have not solved the contractual issues. So, again, is this a distraction? More so than Rodgers and Egypt. And by the way, he showed up today in an Egyptian T-shirt.
It had that was funny.
Like a Sphinx cat and
that was funny.
A Cleopatra necklace on the cat. So Rodgers continues to have fun with the Egypt story, if nobody else.
You know, they do need to replace Bryce Huff. The Jets' defense is just absolutely loaded. Pro Football Focus, the analytics site, ranks every unit, secondary, linebackers, defensive line. The Jets were one in defensive line. They were like one in secondary, two in linebacker. They are elite at every level of this defense. Now, I wonder, was that in part because the offenses last year really didn't need to put a lot of pressure on them because Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle were the quarterbacks? So the defense was in a great position. Nobody was trying to push the ball downfield against them.
I guess, but they just played good defense last year too and gave a chance for that offense to steal a game or two. I mean, they played good defense against Patrick Mahomes.
That is absolutely true. They played good defense against my guy, Jalen Hurts, against right. Maggie's guy, Josh Allen. They had a lot of good defensive games. Okay, Jordan Love, as of right now, it is 9 a.m. Eastern, is not on the practice field, holding in with the Green Bay Packers. Adam Schefter, ESPN, reports that he will probably become the highest paid player in the NFL and therefore the highest paid player ever. If you're the Packers, are you nervous making that kind of commitment to Jordan Love, or are you all in on Jordan Love?
I'm all in on Jordan Love.
Yeah.
The only nerves are the standard default nerves of just something could happen to him. But I mean, the kid's a stud. They know him as like a teammate and as a person for multiple years. The on-field stuff is, you know, the detractors will say he's getting paid off a half a season, the second half of last year. And that's technically true.
Right.
But they've seen him in meetings. They've seen him around the place. He's not new to them. So they basically know what they're investing in. And again, like it's so hard now in the NFL and the NBA to connect value like from contract to player, because it's all, especially in the NBA, it's just a formula. A number just gets spit out, and that's what you sign a guy to. Like, Evan Mobley is not worth $224 million over 5 years in Cleveland.
Right.
But that's the contract that Evan Mobley can sign. So he signs it. And now...
The NBA is out of control. It's ridiculous. Cade Cunningham getting $200 million. The NFL, I think those guys are worth... I mean, quarterback is so much more important than everybody else. They deserve that money.
It's different
than the NBA.
Except that they're just... But they're all just topping the number before
Got
them.
It. So I understand what you're saying there. I think Jordan Love does belong in this $50 million crowd. I agree with you. I was thinking about Jordan Love. I fell in love with him in preseason. I know I'm playing Monday morning quarterback there. I was always bullish on him because the dude looks like Aaron Rodgers when he throws it.
Right.
He's awesome. Oh, you see the disappointment. Diana Rossini is coming in from The Athletic, new podcast, Scoop City. She is, and her family, are Maggie Gray super fans. Is that safe to say? How disappointed is your father going to be that Maggie is on vacation, Andrew Bogus is sitting in, there's no Maggie here?
Please don't take offense to this at all.
I'm probably going to agree with what you're going to say, so no worries.
First of all, I can't live up to Maggie ever in the eyes of my family.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting. I am the senior NFL insider at The Athletic. Mm-hmm. I am the only female mm-hmm. in the world right now breaking NFL news, and my dad does not care. It's like, mm-hmm. Maggie's opinion lately, she's just been on something. Maybe vacation, maybe some beach has mm-hmm. been helping her, but she's just so interesting. It's like, Dad, I'm also interesting. Right. Listen to me.
Does he call you Maggie by accident?
Probably.
Okay.
He's probably like, Margaret.
She's actually not a Margaret. She's a straight not? Maggie.
She's I know. A straight Maggie.
Yes. I know. I called her Margaret thinking, like, pretending yeah. to be stern one day. And she's like, actually, it's just Maggie. I didn't know that was a thing.
Mm, yeah. I always thought they were all Margarets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're probably relieved that Maggie's not here so your dad can enjoy you and you not you won't be distracted.
I didn't look at it that way.
Yeah.
Because when I was asked to come on here, I was like, Maggie's show always. Yeah. Of course I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, so we tricked you in here.
Yeah,
you did.
Basically.
Okay. Yeah,
smart.
Exactly. And then it was yes, and then, oh, by the way, Maggie's not here. It's like,
yeah.
But yes, so you know what? Shine my star voice because I need to make my father proud.
Okay, this is your segment, Diana. Obviously, you obviously made him proud with all your work. So Scoop City, the new podcast on The Athletic. I love Chase Daniel. I liked him at the NFL Network. I liked him as a backup. I love backup quarterbacks. Always have. Two of my good friends are in the NFL are Case Keenum and Andy Dalton. Texas quarterbacks are the coolest.
Yep.
They're the nicest guys. Chase Daniel, I've watched his career, and there's a reason he's in the NFL for so long. He knows so much football. How did you guys get together for this podcast?
Chase is unbelievable. He is a fabulous teammate. He's a friend of mine now. So when I joined The Athletic last year, they wanted me to start a podcast, but I wanted to do it with a partner. And just from my days at ESPN, I always liked the collaboration of a player perspective mixed with information, right? You see it every single day on television. So I knew I wanted a former player, but it's so hard to find a really invested, talented former player. They have skills and talents, but to have it all together,
right,
it's really challenging. So we auditioned with a bunch of different people, and Chase came across as someone that was interested, and we did one segment, and we were about 2 minutes in, and while we were doing it, I had a chat open with the producers, and I just sent back fire emojis. Like, this is it. This, you just know. It's like a marriage. Like, I just knew. Because I opened up the segment with asking him a question about a situation. I don't even remember what team we were talking about. But he was peppering me with these just natural, curious questions as a fan, while also using his own experience of 14 years in football, 7 different teams, and applying that with those questions. So it's such an easy lift. You know when you just don't have to work at it because the person just is on the same wavelength as you? I'm only 3 episodes in. Yeah. So talk to me in 6 months. I may hate the guy, but right now, things are great.
Now, I feel like if Maggie was here, she'd be shaking her head not knowing what Diana's talking about.
No, no, no.
Natural chemistry with a partner.
By the way, at some point, you got to tell us who didn't make the cut.
The tryout. A lot of people have asked me that question. That's so funny.
I know you want to tell us.
Which Chase, McCown brother didn't make it?
Chase Daniel, by the way.
I tried to get Josh McCown, actually,
okay.
Before
awesome.
He went to Minnesota. It's so funny. The day we launched, first text I got, Josh McCown going, could have been us. I'm like, yep, could have been us. You're back in the league, though.
He's very tall, though. That would be kind of hard to do. Josh McCown.
What does tall have to do with a podcast?
I just think that
you're very tall.
You have to frame the guy the right way. Chase is not. I have no idea.
No. Okay. Yeah, but Chase has got the beard, the backwards hat. Like, he brings this. Here's another thing with Chase, too, is we're both parents, right? So he's got 3 under 6. I've got 2 under 3.
Oh.
And we're both managing being working parents,
yeah.
And NFL never stops, and my role is to constantly be on, so to speak. And he's new to being a full-time dad, really, because
right.
he's not playing anymore. So before we hop on the podcast, you know, it's like 15 minutes before we start recording, He is just flying through the shot, back and forth, yelling and screaming at this one and that one. He is managing so much at home as a dad.
Yeah.
And he'll just sit down, put his headphones on, and be like, you have no idea what I'm going through. I'm like, actually, I do. I know exactly what's going on there, Chase. Welcome to parenting.
He has a great SI cover back at Mizzou, by the way. Okay. Diana Rossini's here from The Athletic. Her new podcast is Scoop City with Chase Daniel. Big news this week. Saquon Barkley commented on watching Hard Knocks. Andrew here is a Giants fan, so is still a little in his feelings here. Were you surprised at all by his reaction to watching the Giants basically say we're not going to invest in you? Or did you expect Saquon to sort of react the way he did?
So Saquon even explained it to me as all of that happened so quickly. It wasn't as dramatic as it appeared on TV. There wasn't any lying or weird editing. He's like, it just was two phone calls, really. It was at the end of the season we talked, and then the call that you saw with Joe Shane. But Hard Knocks did such a good job, and Saquon even said, he's like, I loved the drama. The drama, if Hard Knocks was in the front office the year before, then he's like, that's where you would have really got the fireworks from my side of it. He said, you know, because they were tagging me, and we didn't get the deal done, and they gave Daniel Jones the money, and Andrew Thomas, Dexter Lawrence, they all got paid, and Saquon did not. So it was interesting to hear that perspective. He's definitely turned the page, but Hard Knocks has brought it back up. So it's bubbled up slightly. So today he starts training camp in Philadelphia. So over the weekend, I figured right before he starts this new chapter, let me just find out what he's thinking, what this felt like. We got to all see the general manager of the New York Giants talk about him. What we don't ever really get to see that in any walk of life of your boss talking about you. So I wanted to really just get that human side to him. And he was incredible.
Yeah.
He was so open and honest about how he felt, how it hurt, how he felt disrespected, but at the same time understood the business and understood that Joe Shane had to do what Joe wanted to do and how he envisions this team.
After you guys put the clip out and announced Saquon's going to be on, and the clip that you shared yesterday is him reacting to the Shane call saying, go test the market. GMs and coaches that you are regularly in contact with, did anybody reach out and go, that was a weird way to handle, or that's what I would have done? Like, what's the league's reaction to seeing Shane's business acumen, so to speak?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I did get a lot. I wasn't expecting that. I had a lot of conversations yesterday with different coaches and two GMs, actually, not in Philadelphia or New York, about the situation, because everyone loves to gossip in this league, and they love to pick.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it's funny. I've noticed there's a split in an opinion. There are some that are like, Joe messed up. He dropped the ball. They need Saquon. This offense does not go. He's their best weapon. He is a better investment than Daniel Jones at quarterback. And then you have others that are like, yeah, you can get a running back at a better price, and they made the right move moving on. I think collectively, though, Saquon has just represented what a New York Giant, what ownership really wants a Giant to be. The way he carries himself, his leadership, his team mentality, his work ethic. Like, he checks every box. On top of the fact that he's been very vocal about wanting to be a New York Giant forever, from the day he was drafted from Dave Gettleman to now. But it was made very clear, and around the league it's been made very clear, that Joe Shane does not value the running back position, and that's not how he sees his offense, and it's not how Brian Daboll does.
We can't figure it out. We've been discussing it since last week. How do you view Shane on the phone with Saquon's agent saying, if it's 3 years at 12.5 and 25 mil guaranteed, he'd say yes? Is that Joe Shane making an unofficial offer to them, or is he getting clarification from what they have on their side that maybe I'll match that?
So it was all about guaranteed money for Saquon. That's what he was going after. There was never an effort to match anything above 9, so to speak. That was the number that they believed, his side believed, that would have been the Giants' offer. If he didn't, let's just say he tests the market, nothing's there, nobody likes him, nobody wants him. He believed that the Giants' price would have been around $9 million. He obviously goes out there and gets significantly more. And it was so cool to hear him talk about, A, what that's done for him personally and professionally, just reviving his passion for the game and confidence in himself. We all want to be wanted. And that's the beauty of free agency, is these players get to really see what's behind all the compliments and all the high fives and all and all the comments after games, and coaches go up to them and players are like, man, you're a dog, you're so good. And he said that. He's like, it was, there were teams that backed it up, and he had a lot of offers.
Bears, right? We're involved for
the Chicago Bears, yeah. The Houston Texans. Those were serious offers. So he said between the three of them, he did the old school way that we all do when we make a decision. You do a pro and a con list. And he said, I sat around my table with my family and I did all the pros, and every single pro in Philly outweighed the pros in Houston and Chicago. And the one negative was the con for New York, for joining Philadelphia, was the hate he would feel from the New York Giants. And he realized you can't live like that. You can't worry. And the other part of the interview that really stood out to me was the hate that he did receive when he decided to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. He had put together a goodbye video for the Giants once he knew he was going to become an Eagle, as a way to thank the fan base. And people were going at him so hard, calling him Snake Juan and just some of these crazy names, that he didn't put it out. And he said, I regret it. I'm an idiot. I was immature in the moment, and I allowed that to affect me, and I need to be bigger and better. And I said, no, you don't. You're a human being. You're a human. It hurt. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. You know, it just, I like that he opened up about the fact that even people playing in the National Football League with all the money in the world and all the attention he gets are still affected by Bobby on Staten Island. You know what I mean?
Oh, like,
the players are seeing this stuff. And I just think with mental health being at the forefront in so many conversations in people's homes right now, I appreciated him being vulnerable there and opening up and saying it affected me enough that I didn't do what was right, which was thanking the fans.
Couldn't he still do it, by the way?
Yeah, kind of feels like the time has passed, and I think he's going to think about a way to do it. I know he was still kind of going back and forth.
Just not before week 7.
Yeah,
like, it now.
So I asked him, I said, what are you going to do at MetLife if you score a touchdown? He's like, look, I don't have this like choreographed thing in my mind. Obviously, I know when we play the Giants. Of course, I know it on the schedule. He said, but I made a mistake last season or a couple seasons ago when he tore his knee. He said that week before, I practiced so hard because we played Chicago and I didn't play well. And I wanted to prove to everybody, like, I'm the best running back. And I went out there, and because I made it about me, I swear that's why I tore my knee. Ooh. He said, so I will never make it about me again.
Talking to Diana Rossini, new podcast, Scoop City, The Athletic. I know you're also talking about Jordan Love. So we heard Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, say, we love Jordan Love. A deal is almost done. It seems like Jordan Love is happy there. Why isn't it done yet? Why is he holding out of practice, holding in?
It's the new thing, holding in. So the structure of the deal is still being discussed. I think sometimes we think, because we all work so quickly over email and text message, that this stuff can get done quickly. Every GM and owner has shared with me the process, all the redlining, all the language that gets passed around every single time there is a proposal, it takes forever. Mm-hmm. So while we sit out here going like, just do it, sign him up, give him the money. You know you're going to make him the highest paid quarterback most likely. Like, that's where this thing is headed. Go for it. But I think for right now, they're still working it out. And, you know, I'm in touch with both sides right now, and there's nothing done at this point.
Is it possible this goes deep into training camp?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Both sides have been so optimistic and almost so that I have been looking down at my phone a lot because I know it's coming. It's going to probably happen by the end of the week. Look, if it extends into next week, I'm still not concerned. But, you know, with these contracts, usually when both sides are giving you the same tone and the same vibe, it gets done.
Do you think it's more structural or dollar figure?
Guaranteed. I think it's more about guaranteed money, that's the most important thing. It's always about that. And it's whether teams really want to go as high as, what, 220, 225. We'll see what this looks like.
All right, Diana. We have been doing something here at the Maggie and Perloff Show, the greatest sitcom ever bracket.
Oh.
And I get the sense that back in the day, you were a big sitcom fan.
Big one.
So I'm going to ask you about a couple of the top seeds, and you tell me if you're into them. Were you a Friends fan?
Yes.
Would that be your number one seed?
No.
Seinfeld?
No.
Wow. Simpsons?
No.
Family Guy?
No.
Always Sunny?
No.
Cheers?
No.
All in the Family?
Cheers. How old do you think I am?
No, I don't know. Reruns. MASH. No. Okay.
What?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Really? Here we go. It was a three seed. It just lost to I Love Lucy.
Oh, I love Lucy, too.
No, that would have been a tough vote for you. It was a 50-50 vote.
My dad's name is Ricky, so I think I grew up with always hearing the name Ricky. Ricky Ricciardo.
So you would have put Fresh Prince over Seinfeld and Cheers.
Yeah.
Our executive producer, EJ, who's not here, is going to love that. Maggie's a big Fresh Prince fan, too. I think, for a generation, it's a very important show.
Correct. I get the Seinfeld. I love Seinfeld. But if I'm sitting down right now and it pops up, and on the left Seinfeld and on the right is Fresh Prince, I'm going to Fresh Prince.
Now, we had 64 shows in this bracket. One of them was Saved by the Bell, which is a big debate.
Okay, there you go.
But is it a sitcom?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on in the morning.
That was a big debate.
It's a little different. A kid show, maybe.
I do remember my Saturday mornings with my cereal watching that show. And
yeah.
That is happiness that I don't have in my life anymore, and I probably never will since I have kids.
I think Seinfeld's going to win the bracket, so you're okay with that.
Of course Seinfeld's going to win. I know that. I almost feel like that's one of those shows that, you know, it's just an automatic. It's just like, yep, you're a Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers, you're a Hall of Famer. We get it. Like, automatic. I don't know. I just didn't gravitate towards it as much as I did with Saved by the Bell and with Fresh Prince.
Awesome. Okay, so next time you got to come in when Maggie is here. The podcast is Scoop City. Who's coming up next? Is it always going to be guest driven, or is it ever going to be just you and Chase?
Great question.
Yeah.
Haven't decided yet. No.
Okay.
I think we're going to try to find opportunities where it fits.
Right.
And right now is a good time as guys are getting ready to go back and they're available. It's just going to play out. We're going to see how it goes. So I have some lined up coming up. So we got Kirk Cousins on Friday.
Love it.
Very pumped for that. I got Ryan Tannehill next week.
Nice.
Ryan doesn't have a job right now. He is in the Bahamas spearfishing and flying planes. So he's got the coolest life ever, but he's definitely still open to probably like a Joe Flacco deal, that kind of situation.
He's only 35 or so.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. 30. Ryan's 36 now. Yeah, but yeah, relatively young. 12 years in the league. He's made tons of money. He's not really pressed to come back in here and be some backup and hang out. So he's not on the Chase Daniels train. He's enjoying his life.
That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to just talking to Ryan, find out sort of what happened there in Tennessee at the end, what the culture was, if he thought Vrabel should have been fired, and also Will Levis. What's the deal? He was in a quarterback room with him. Is he going to be a star or not?
I can't wait to find out. But there's so much news going on, Diane. I would listen. I'm being serious. I would listen to Scoop City just to hear you comment on these situations right now, these contract situations. That's plenty of content.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, and I appreciate that, if you mean it, because you know how this is. When you're building shows, you don't know what's going to work,
right?
So the podcast space is so flooded right now that I constantly go back to, we'll say, like my computer where I think of ideas and go, what is making this show different?
Right.
And it's that you have inside information mixed with the experience of a great football player that's kind of connected all by these two people that have become friends and are parents.
Yep. That's
I'm
awesome.
Hoping to just mix it all. But if you're listening and you don't like it, call me.
I think it's going to pop. All right, the Scoop City on The Athletic. Diana Russini, thank you so much. We got to take a break. Coming up next, another brilliant football mind, Andrew Brandt, is going to weigh in on his former team, the Green Bay Packers. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back, Maggie Perloff. That was great having Diana Rossini on from The Athletic. She explained Saquon Barkley's view of Hard Knocks with the Giants. She also painted a picture of what's happening in Green Bay with Jordan Love. Diana seemed to say that it's all going to work out. They're just battling over the structure of the deal. That's good for Packers fans. She was even checking her phone during the interview to make sure that Jordan Love did not sign. So it doesn't seem like, I know we're talking about it, it doesn't seem like there's drama there.
No, and I saw her like scroll through her phone. I'm like, man, is she getting like an actual important text right now
I
while
love
she's
that.
Sitting here?
Yeah, I love on ESPN when you see Adam Schefter during the draft reaching for his phone. I'm like, ooh, what's that? Is that Tom Telesco telling him that they traded somebody?
And I wasn't going to like gush over her, but like as a parent and being amazed by like my wife being a mom and a wife and having a very impressive better than me career, specifically I don't know how she does her job while being a mom, because her job is never ending,
right? Insiders,
like, never.
Insiders are 24 hours a day.
Like my wife has a hard job, but at least at every once in a while, like at the end of the day, at some point she can just go, okay, that's over, like and do whatever, like come to a baseball game, go out, like. But Diana's phone could buzz at any, and I think she shared a picture over the weekend of a news reporter who got called on to TV on Sunday, and her baby was crying in the background, but she had to go on TV to talk about the Biden news, and I'm super impressed by moms doing everything, and Diana is really good at being an NFL newsbreaker. And it's a hard job to begin with, and it's just that much harder, and she's super impressive.
Well, I agree. It's funny. I've seen some behind-the-scenes footage of Schefter. It's pretty intense, too. Like, Woj, who knows? But Woj, you never see what he does. He keeps his private life private. Schefter, you see sometimes. It's like little documentaries where he's in a car getting, like, six different calls.
Yeah.
I think that would be a lot of fun. I think people are like, oh, I could be an insider.
You couldn't. You'd be good, though, at keeping the relationships going. I don't know that I'd be good about.
I'm not.
Really?
I used to work with Glazer back in the day. He would call everyone in his phone book every single day just to keep the relationship strong. And that's why he became Jay Glazer.
That's crazy.
All right. Now I'm excited of another former coworker of mine when I was at Sports Illustrated, Andrew Brandt, who is also a former Packers executive and is really the sort of go-to voice when it comes to any kind of contract talk, but especially when it's in Green Bay. Andrew, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. And listening to your conversation, I've obviously worked with Schefter and all these guys. I could never do that.
Yeah.
And I entered media really late, you know, after leaving the Packers in my 50s. And man, I couldn't, that's a life. Obviously they're paid very well, but being attached to the phone, letting the phone rule you. And like you said, Andrew, I mean, again, I like talking to friends on the phone, but I just like I couldn't imagine having to sort of checklist sources all the time just to say, you know, how you doing? And it's a tough life, but they're paid well.
Andrew, when you were with the Packers, is there a system of how you're going to let news out? Did you have like one insider, say it was a contract talk where, I don't know if you did leak news or if you even call it leak, like how does it work? Does each GM have a different guy they go to? Does everyone sort of know what's going on behind the scenes, or are the insiders constantly hustling to try and get word somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting because when a story broke out of our offices, depending on who it was and who got the story, our local media, this happens all the time. People don't talk about this. Local media would get upset, you know, because why break it to Schefter or Glazer when we had so many local media, right? Milwaukee Journal, all the TV, Green Bay Press Gazette. And it just became the norm while I was working in Green Bay, and every team does it just to get the maximum appeal. And then on the agent side, oh God, when I was finishing contracts, I'm like, we're not done. Well, I got to tell Schefter. I'm like, no, we're not done. Don't go running to the media. And then I would use it to my advantage where they'd say, you know, can I tell Schefter it's really 60 million over 5 years when I know it's like 30 million over 5 years? I'm like, whatever floats your boat. Like, it, to me, if that's the thing that would close a deal, I'm like, go ahead. And that's what happens all the time with these contracts. Like, I sit here and read the contract report, and I'm like, okay, who's the agent? Mm-hmm. I'll discount that by 20% if it's this agent, by 50% if it's this agent. So no one really knows the deal, because that's the game. Agents run to the media, puff the deal in the most positive light for the player, and only nerds like us kind of look into the deal afterwards.
Well, I guess along those lines, if you were still in Green Bay talking to Jordan Love, what would you want the contract to look like once it's done for your side?
Yeah, as I've been talking about a lot of shows, a lot of tweets, I think this deal is close. There's no way he'd be in camp, whether practicing or not, if this deal was not close. So instead of a holdout, it appears to be a love-in, and it'll happen soon. I mean, I think that the way I look at contracts different, obviously I've been an agent and I've been a team. If I was the Packers, which I was for 10 years, you always look at things like, when can we get out, right? Forget about the money. When can we get out if things go south? Now, of course, you don't think anything would happen. He's going to progress. He's an ascending player. He's going to be a top quarterback. But you always have to protect downside risk. And that comes to the guarantee. So if we guarantee 1, 2, 3, okay, 3 years. So we got 3 years, and it's going to be a boatload of money, but we can get out. In other words, in 2027, if he's not any good, we can move on or have the leverage of the contract to negotiate a lower amount. That's the ultimate thing. When can a team get out? Now, if you're basketball or baseball, you can't get out. You can't. You can cut them, but you got to pay them. In football, you can get out. So that's one thing. The other thing, of course, is what's the real money? Forget about the total value that we just talked about. That's going to be out there. Is it going to be $50 million a year, 55, whatever it may be? That's what fans and media are going to jump to. But what's the real number? And I look at the real number in basic terms as 3 years. So is he getting 120 over three? Is he getting 150 over three? That's real. I mean, that's real money. Beyond that, non-guaranteed salaries, again, we'd like to think he'll get it all, but we just don't know. Those are some key markers. And then the last thing I'll say is length. Mm. You know, I thought Dak Prescott did the best deal of any young quarterback because he did a 4-year deal at the market, which was 40 at the time. Now the market's 55, and he's up for contract. Like, he is going to surpass all these guys in terms of total earnings because he did a short deal. If you're a premium player, do a short deal because you're back at it in 2, 3, 4 years. I think the Packers are trying to get Love under contract like these other deals like Burrow and Herbert, 7 years. You know, they had 2 years left, so they got basically had a 5-year extension. He has 1 year left. If he gets a 5-year extension, that's 6 years. That's a long time.
Andrew, we're talking to Andrew Brandt, former Packers executive. If they do give Jordan Love some form of $50 million plus, is that going to limit the team-building capabilities of the Packers to the point where they're, say, less of a Super Bowl threat in the next 3 or 4 years?
You know, Andrew, I always push back at this. As someone who managed a cap, that cap, for 10 years, there are people doing this, right? There are people like me who get paid a lot of money to make sure teams can always contend. I always clap back and people say, well, if you have a $50 million quarterback, you can't build a roster. Sure you can. You've got half your team, and the Packers is more than that. Packers is probably 60% of the team, 65% on rookie contracts. So let's say you have 40 players on contracts averaging cap numbers of about a million. That's 40 million. So you got 25 players to deal with $210 million. So it's never been easier to manage a cap because of this rookie scale. And I don't think that's a problem at all, especially for the Packers, who've got the lowest spending offense in the league right now. Obviously, it'll increase with this Love money. But, I mean, they've got 12 receivers making like $12 million total. You know, Justin Jefferson's making $35 million. So it's an amazing offense right now.
Well, I you know, full disclosure, Andrew, we reached out to you to answer the question that Perloff just asked you, mm-hmm. because this came up yesterday. It's come up before. I've sent him the link to your write-up. I think it's from a year ago about this very topic, and he chose to not read it.
No. So,
and then yesterday I tried to shorten it for him, and I couldn't because I'm a dope. So we said, why don't we call Andrew to come on? And then today he beat me to the questions. We presented it, yep. in a way like you were here to break a tie.
You're like an audiobook of your own article right now, Andrew.
So you just gave him a loss, and I appreciate that, because he's been saying that signing Love is inherently bad as a big contract to the Packers. And I said, Andrew Brandt says it's not, and here you are saying that it's not.
Well, I get the argument. I mean, and certainly it comes up with the Bengals and Burrow, with Herbert. You know, it's going to come up all the time. The one thing to note is all these deals are structured with low cap early, so nothing will be affected anytime soon. You know, will Joe Burrow's contract affect the Bengals in 2027, 28? Maybe, you know, but we all expect the cap to rise. So I push back at this because this is what Russ Ball, the Packers, this is what when I did it, it was only me. Now these teams have 3-4 people in their cap departments. So they should be doing this fine.
Andrew, it's training camp is starting. Do you think anything's going to happen with Dak Prescott before the season, or is it possible he'll go through the season and become a free agent?
Yeah, I think I was on with you and Maggie earlier this summer. I just think no. I think we've gotten to the point where the Cowboys are playing this out with a couple people. Mike McCarthy, right?
Right.
And Dak Prescott. They're both on lame duck years. I mean, I don't mean to sound that pejorative. I just think that I was at that game. The Packers rolled them. Everyone thought Mike McCarthy, the former Packers coach, was going to be gone. And he's not. And everyone thought Dak Prescott would be extended. And he's not. And, of course, he's holding up Lamb and Parsons. They can do those deals. But obviously, they'd have a lot more cap room if they reworked Dak. But I think he's gotten to a point where he's just, they're going to ride this out. They may tag him next year. I mean, they can't tag him next year. They may sign him to a massive deal next year, or he'll get that somewhere else. That's why Prescott has played this really well.
We're talking to Andrew Brandt. So tell us real quick about your mysunday7.com.
Yeah, I've been doing this newsletter. It's been growing thousands of subscribers. So people can get in mysunday7.com. I do the newsletter, talk about these things, and also beyond NFL every week. I do videos during the week as well. So
I'm all over this. I'm not going to be caught not reading one of your articles now, because we talk. It's amazing. You know, this contract talk is a big part of sports talk now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. I think that's, you know, something I've tried to engender in the media the past 15 or 12 years. So. Yeah, I mean, people are always looking at, okay, if Love signs 5 minutes later, 1 minute later, 30 seconds later, everyone's going to be looking, what's the number? What's the deal? That's what people now want.
We have to break, Andrew, but real quick, I want thumbs up or thumbs down. Are you enjoying Hard Knocks behind the scenes on the Giants?
I don't know why they did it. Gosh, can you imagine? Every time I went to the Packers, they said, the NFL wants us to be on Hard every – or I could get the word knocks out. People say, no. And again, I don't think it's a great look, especially the Barkley stuff. But, you know, it's one thing to do it during the training camp, which is mostly football player stuff. But off-season stuff, man, I wouldn't let them in on that.
Andrew, really appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again soon, as contract season is still going on strong. It's mysunday7.com. Sounds great. Really appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Andrew.
Oh, boy, man.
That's a win for me. I'm going to sit back and enjoy that.
Yeah, but I did squeeze the question in. So when we put the social media clip out, it's going to look like I'm the one who said it. I love it. I pulled a rope-a-dope on you, Andrew.
That's Bogus. A pro move.
All right, coming up next, we had to push back updates with Peter Schwartz. We're going to get the latest news. We'll see if there's any NFL contract talk in there. Next, Maggie and Perloff. Welcome, Maggie and Perloff. You know, Maggie's supposed to be on vacation. I just saw her on social media saying she's jealous, and we just got to talk to Andrew Brandt and Diana Russini. Wish she was here for that. She'll be back later in the week. Maggie, relax. Just sit by the lake and, you know, recharge. It's okay. We got this handled. Andrew Bogus is in. And now Peter Schwartz is in. We had to push him back a little bit.
That's okay.
What is the latest? What's going on? Give us
some contract talk. NFLPA Executive Director Lloyd Howell tells the Washington Post that the union and the NFL have started high-level discussions about a potential 18-game regular season. I don't know why they just didn't go from 16 right to 18 at the stop at 17 in the middle.
What was that grunt there, Bogus?
I just, personally, I like the math of a 16-game schedule when it came to predicting somebody's record. Now I've got to recalibrate to 17 games to do that math. Now you're 10-7 or 11-6. Now you want to go to 18, and now you got to reconfigure that, and decide that a good team is 13-5 all of a sudden.
So it's not because it's going to be all backup quarterbacks by week 18. Your problem is that
math is counting.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Like, the Steelers are going to go 9-8 is annoying to say.
Annoying,
I totally get
yes.
it. And they're going to go, oh, the Saints are going to be 8-10. Like, what?
But the better news out of this is you probably get to only 2 preseason games.
Yeah,
that, actually, that's what I hope.
But what's the difference? Who cares?
Just one less preseason game. They stink.
Preseason's awful.
Yeah, but it doesn't affect our lives. You just don't watch it.
It affects the pockets of the season ticket holders. Like, there's no.
Oh, you're right.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're shelling out $100 for a ticket, yep. it would be better off if it's a regular season game than a preseason game.
Absolutely right on that count. So, but I do think a real fear is the wear and tear. What kind of football are we going to get? There's going to be 2 buys.
That'd be
right?
2 buys. I
so
would think,
by
yeah.
week 20, what's going? I don't mind pushing the Super Bowl back because I find the day after the Super Bowl the most depressing day on the sports calendar. So give me all of February.
Make the day after President's Day weekend is what everyone's talking about.
You get a little holiday in there.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's
Everything
it.
Works out. Now, well, yeah, you're just adding
what holiday?
A buy.
We have to be here.
Yeah,
the holiday wouldn't help us.
Yeah, but 99% of the country would get to. Well, whoever. Gets that day off. It makes sense. They should have the Super Bowl on a Saturday night. Would have been ideal. Then people could just go to town. But this is a good compromise.
Move. I like it.
That's
I like it.
Move.
Here's something I don't like. Jets defensive end Hassan Reddick reportedly does not plan to report to training camp today. Not a surprise. The Jets acquired Reddick from the Eagles for a conditional 2026 third-round pick that could turn into a second-round pick. He's in the final year of his contract. Due to make $14.5 million this season, probably looking for a little more guaranteed money this year. I don't think he gets an extension out of this.
Okay, a couple things. First of all, we've done way too much Jets on this show because you're wearing a Darrell Revis jersey. So they've invested a ton in the defensive line already. They drafted Jermaine Johnson in the first round. Did they draft Will McDonald out of Iowa State mysteriously in the teens? I don't think they're like, but they wanted Broderick Jones, a tackle who went to Pittsburgh. They're like, I guess we'll take this
guy.
What
do I do?
Yeah. They already have Quinton Williams, who's a stud. And they have great line, and they have Quincy Williams, who's also a stud, and they have the best cornerback in the league. I don't know why they need this many pass rushers. Is this a problem with Hassan Reddick? I know he's replacing Bryce Huff.
I just think they're adding as many pieces as they can to ensure that they've got a shot to win this year, because if it doesn't work out, everybody's gone next year.
Right. Go all in this year.
And if they somehow figure out a way to get Davante Adams, I think they're going to do that too, because... I'm not saying that they should get him or won't get him or whatever, but if you're Joe Douglas, like if you don't win or at the very least make the playoffs this year, he's losing his job. So what difference does it make if he gives up another draft pick? It's not going to be his draft pick anyway.
No, you're absolutely right. But the Adam Schefters of the world keep saying, do not expect this trade to happen. And logically, and Maggie's been calling for this trade since week 7 of last season. Logically, it should happen, but I think the cap numbers and what the Raiders are going to want back is an issue. You're right. If you're the Jets GM, what do you care about next year's first-round pick? But you can't give it up now, because what if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt week 3 and ends up being the number 5 pick, and you're sitting looking at a quarterback in next year's draft, and the Raiders have your pick?
Right.
You can't do that. Yeah, I mean,
we'll
would
see.
Would you trade a first round pick for Davante Adams right now?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. No, if it was up to me, I wouldn't do it. But again, it's the Jets, so whatever decision has to be made, it'll be the wrong one. Let's go to baseball.
Sorry, I was going to say, who's the last receiver to go for a first-round pick? Like, even Tyreek Hill didn't go for a first-round pick.
No, he did. Tyreek and Devontae both went for picks in the 20s. You can double-check that.
I thought it was 2 seconds.
Almost sure it was low first. Okay.
Diggs wasn't a first-round pick.
Diggs was not
for
a first-round
sure.
pick.
Yeah, actually, there might be somebody else in that mix. We'll check that.
We'll have to check that out.
Peter, who else?
Let's go to baseball. We'll start in L.A. Giants and Dodgers tied at 2 in the 8th.
2 balls, 2 strikes. 2 on, 2 out. Game tied at 2. The pitch. Hernandez with another base hit into center field. Teo, time and again, comes through in the clutch. The Dodgers lead 3-2.
Call on Dodgers Radio. Dodgers win their 4th in a row, beat the Giants 3-2. Just wanted to quickly also mention Kobe Bryant's locker at Staples Center from 2003 to 2016 being put up for auction by Sotheby's. And that is going to be on display at Sotheby's New York Galleries from July 26th to the 30th, and the locker will be on public view.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I don't know if we can afford that. That would go great in our little studio
corner.
Here. There's way too much Bills crap in here. Thank you, Peter.
It would be a big upgrade over the Carson Wentz poster we had. That would really,
cleanse
us from that.
At least that was there. I mean, Maggie has a Fred Jackson Bills 22 here. Nobody even knows who that is, except for Maggie and her relatives, Uncle Wayne.
And Fred Jackson.
And Fred Jackson.
Even Fred Jackson's confused.
It's the only national radio show with a Fred Jackson jersey. There's Michael Jackson stuff, and there's Jimmy Jackson stuff, but no other Fred Jackson. Thanks to Andrew Brandt. Thanks to Diana Russini. Thanks to Big Zoo helping out Bilotti over there. Pete Bilotti, Peter Schwartz,
hi.
Andrew Bogish. We might have a Jordan Love contract tomorrow. We also have conference media days. I'm so excited. Football is here. Let's go. Maggie and Perloff Show. Thanks for listening.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.